This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. It's said that women have borne much of the brunt of the fallout of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to UN Women, one in three women experience physical or sexual violence, mostly by an intimate partner in pre-pandemic times. But during the pandemic, there has been a dramatic increase of violence against women and girls, and particularly of domestic violence. As we all know, lockdown measures, which meant to keep the virus at bay, also saw women with violent partners increasingly isolated from people and resources that could help them. So the post-pandemic economic impact has further limited women's opportunities to escape violent situations. And this quote-unquote shadow pandemic, as defined by UN Women, is growing. Here in Malaysia, the Women's Aid Organisation is one of the many organisations helping women experiencing domestic violence. And today on the show, I catch up with Sumitra Viswanathan, who is the Executive Director of WAO, to discuss this and more. Welcome, Sumitra. How are you today?
I'm doing really good. Thank you, Juliet.
Lovely to have you back on the show. Always a pleasure to speak to you. So, just remind us, Sumitra, you know, today, of course, you are the executive director of the Women's Aid Organization. Just remind us, how did you first get involved in working for women's rights and human rights advocacy?
Yeah, well, you know, my experience has been actually in the area of refugee protection. And almost since I left university, I have been working for the UN's refugee agency for a short time in Malaysia, but also around the globe. And my last 10 years or so was spent actually in the Middle East and North Africa, dealing with, you know, the fallout from different armed conflicts and ending in Baghdad. And so what happened is I heard that there was this amazing job opportunity in Malaysia to lead Women's Aid Organization. And so I jumped at the opportunity to come back to make change in my own country, to work on an issue that is so close to my heart, and that is gender equality. So I came back to Malaysia in 2014, post, you know, ISIS, Baghdad. Yes. And started the job in January 2015. And here I am almost 7 years later, still leading WAO and having a wonderful time.
Okay, that's wonderful to hear. And I remember catching up with you, you know, even at the start when you had just come back and, you know, in between. And you guys do wonderful, you know, really good work. And it doesn't get any easier, does it? And you know, like you said, you've worked in this space for a long time. What is it about these past 2 years in particular, you know, that has, I suppose, surprised you the most?
Yeah, so I think what surprised me and positively is actually, you know, that strain, that stream that goes through the entire community in Malaysia, and that whole thing that's so beautifully and aptly captured in Kita Jaga Kita, that will for us all to recognize that we are in this struggle together, stepping forward to provide support, aid, assistance as much as we can to the people around us, that actually has been such a positive and welcome surprise. What is maybe less positive is I feel, you know, to be brutally frank, I feel is the disconnect with Malaysians on the ground, with the people who are living our daily lives, trying to earn a living, trying to be safe and happy in our day-to-day lives, the disconnect between us and the people who are governing us, that for me has been, you know, the depths of that disconnect has been a surprise.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing the fallout of that disconnect, isn't it? We're seeing, you know, so much happening, especially to women, especially to those, you know, who are already already discriminated against and now facing even further discrimination. And I guess that's where WAO is coming in, especially with regard to women's experiences. How would you say women's experiences during the pandemic is different from, let's say, men's?
Yeah, so, you know, a huge thing is the burden of caring for the family and running the household. In terms of equality within the home, Malaysia is not quite there yet. And we're lagging behind in a lot of the indicators of gender equality as demonstrated, you know, in Malaysia's global ranking in for gender equality. So coming from that lack of equality, the fact that, you know, kids are at home, being educated at home, the entire family, the adults in the family, those who are working from home and et cetera. So all of those pressures contained within that physical space has led to a lot of negative repercussions that are disproportionately borne by women. So where previously, you know, the care burden has been weighted towards women, it is so much more pronounced now, you know, juggling between your child needing to have that education, you being on a Zoom meeting, and then needing also to cook for the family. And that then just further reinforces and makes even more clear and present any stresses or triggers that lead to violence, that lead to abuse, that then, you know, creates that situation for domestic violence to occur. Violence against women occurs fundamentally because there is an inequality, because one party is seen as being more powerful than the other, and more frequently the male party. The woman is disempowered, seen as lesser, and therefore deserving of less rights and protection, and is becomes then vulnerable to abuse and discrimination. That therefore becomes more pronounced, and we see that reflected in data. So across the board, we have seen an increase in domestic violence in WAO's own data. So as a comparison, in 2019, we handled 3,230 cases. In 2020, that went up to 7,172 cases. Wow. And now, in just in the first 6 months of 2021, we are already, you know, going to probably see that those same 2020 numbers, we are already at almost 3,500 cases that we're handling. And that's just one NGO based in the Klang Valley, but with a very active emergency crisis hotline that is available to women and children throughout the country. So, yes.
I don't even know what to say, you know. I mean, those figures are scary, and these are the ones who have access to you. I mean, we don't even know the number of those without access, those not living in the Klang Valley, those who have no sort of recourse for any sort of help, right? Gosh.
Yes. So I think possibly in the coming weeks, we would also probably see public data coming out of Talian Kasih, which is the government crisis hotline. Mm-hmm. That will also demonstrate that there has been an exponential increase in calls to Talian Kasih because of domestic violence. So if you put all of those numbers together, it absolutely underscores what UN Women and WHO have been saying about domestic violence being the pandemic within the pandemic, and also makes it so much more critical and important that in the planning for Malaysia moving forward for budget 2022, for the 12th Malaysia plan, and all other guiding and implementation actions that this government is going to take towards national recovery, needs to pay close attention to this data, recognize that there's a huge gap in our society when it comes to ensuring equality and inclusion for all, and taking some very concrete actions and measures to address it.
Okay. All right. And we're going to talk a bit about that after this quick break. I'm speaking today to Sumitra Viswanathan. She's the executive director of Women's Aid Organization. We've seen that during the pandemic, what is being called a shadow pandemic, which is impacting women more severely than it is others. We're seeing that happening and it's growing. And if we don't do something to help, it's going to get worse. So coming up after this quick break, we're going to find out more about how we can actually help the Women's Aid Organization in the work that they do. Keep it right here on Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and joining me today is Sumitra Viswanathan. She's the executive director of the Women's Aid Organization, and we're talking about how women have borne much of the brunt of the fallout of the COVID-19 pandemic. As Sumitra told us before the break, you know, the stats with regarding domestic violence has increased exponentially, and that's just from WAO stats. You know, we don't know what's happening across the country, and you know, it's really a crisis that we need to look into. And you know, even as our economic sectors are slowly reopening, right, it's still going to be hard for women to get back into work. And when they are not in the labor market or they're forced into the informal sector, you know, that also, you know, kind of spells out a bit of a catastrophe for them in terms of, you know, their status and, you know, those who are facing violence. It all has a trickle-down effect, right?
Correct. Absolutely right. So, you know, WAO as an organization, although we are really very much known as in the forefront in addressing violence against women in the services that we provide and also the advocacy that we do, but recognizing that at its core, fundamentally, violence against women is enabled by gender inequality. So WAO, actually in 2020, we developed, or rather we moved forward, you know, the next stage of our strategy. And we have a 10-year strategy that we call A Better Country for Women. And we've identified actually 6 transformative changes that Malaysia needs to work towards in order to ensure full equality for women and girls in Malaysia. And those 6 transformative changes don't only address violence against women and girls, but as well equality for women in the workplace, equal access to health and healthcare, and also very, very fundamentally to ensure that you know, rights within the family, that policies and laws and also societal norms move towards accepting that men and women are equal within the family and are therefore deserving of equal rights and equal treatment. So this requires not just, you know, law reform, policy changes, but very, very critically, it requires societal changes. It requires, you know, norming within Malaysia that recognizes this equality and that promotes this equality. So in the work that we do, we don't just provide services. We don't just work on, you know, advocating for law reform and, you know, building capacities within parliamentarians to understand, you know, the core concepts of gender equality and so forth. We do a lot of community engagement. And we have, you know, a concept that we call Community Selamat. And Community Selamat really is about going within communities, empowering communities to understand why gender equality, what is the benefit of gender equality, and also that, you know, in its most heinous form, gender inequality leads to violence against women, and how to recognize, respond, and refer cases of domestic violence so that we take proactive action and don't just lament when there's a loss of women's lives because of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. And that is unfortunately when we tend to see the outcry come out and then the calls for change and reform, but actually not much happening in that sense as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely right.
Oh, God. So, I mean, you know, the past year has been also an economic catastrophe for women, as you know, as you were talking about as well. And you were alluding before the break to how our cabinet, you know, our ministries need to focus on this crisis, right? And to offer women support that, especially for those who have become victims of domestic violence. What are some examples of the governmental structures that you think need to be in place?
Yeah, so I can talk about something with regards to perhaps our budget 2022. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So there are some really positive actions and positive developments that have taken place recently. So one, I feel, is the pre-budget statement. The pre-budget statement is an international best practice, and I think it's wonderful that Malaysia actually is going down this path.
Yeah.
It could have benefited from, you know, being perhaps a little bit more detailed rather than just, you know, articulating what the themes are, which you know, obviously make a lot of sense, all five themes. At this time make a lot of sense, not just economically, but also for the community. But, you know, some very clear numbers would have been actually very useful so that organizations like WAO and our partners who advocate on, you know, gender responsive budgeting and then make very clear and concrete proposals on how that could actually look like in budget 2022, for instance, it would make it easier for us to understand really what is the pool, you know, what are those aggregate numbers that we are looking at when it comes to the expense, the budget expenses vis-a-vis the reserves and so forth. So I just want to talk about one very, very, for want of a better phrase, low-hanging fruits.
Okay.
Although, you know, I think many people have said that low-hanging fruit actually is the wrong thing to say because, you know, we're going really for the whole tree, not just the low-hanging fruits. But okay, again, low-hanging fruit is taking very clear actions that are going to create workplaces and workspaces that enable women to stay in work. We know that women fall out of the employment sector because of the care burden, because of discrimination, for instance, pregnancy discrimination, the motherhood penalty, and so forth. So that happens, and then women don't re-enter the workforce. And that is a huge loss to the Malaysian economy. 48% of women's labor participation is one of the lowest in the Southeast Asian region. So let's, on the one hand, enact legislation that's going to take us a little bit further forward towards ensuring that we are able to have gender equal workspaces through reforms to the Employment Act, passing the Sexual Harassment Act, passing the Anti-Discrimination Against Women Act. But at the same time, we need to see some very clear, concrete, and practicable, impactful provisions in the national budget, like, for instance, incentives to companies for women to come back to work that makes sense,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about creating a crèche in the workspace. It's not just about that. It's about making sure that there is universally accessible childcare available within the community where people live. So that, and it obviously has to be quality and standards-based, so that, you know, mothers and fathers can have peace of mind that their kids are in good hands so that they can go back to work, they can be productive, they can bring income into the household, and they can add to our GDP. So crèche is a very kind of, you know, very specific. It's specific to a certain class of persons. It's specific to a certain sort of corporate environment. It's not applicable to all. What you need is to have universal universally accessible childcare in the communities where people live. That's just one example of what can actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Have you been seeing any approaches, you know, or that have been effective over the last few months? I mean, are there any other areas or rooms for improvement as far as you're concerned?
For women to come back to work,
yeah.
Childcare really is the most important. And I believe that Slango actually has been doing a pilot project for community-based childcare to bring women back into the workforce. And then also recognizing that, you know, when we talk about B40, M40, it's not an attribute of an individual, you know. You can shift between B40 and M40. So what we want is to elevate everybody. And so let's not pigeonhole B40 women in a certain way and take a certain attitude towards B40 women. We need to recognize that policies that are put in place, programs that are developed, are intended to elevate women out of B40. That doesn't mean necessarily that everybody needs to have a 9-to-5 job. It is indeed about increasing employability, but also about increasing income, building the capacity to generate income. So recognizing that, WAO, for instance, we have a program that we call Power Up. And Power Up has two strengths. One is to build employability for women so that they can either re-enter the workforce or enter the workforce where they have never actually contributed in the past.
Okay.
And secondly, it's income generation. And income generation meaning we teach business skills. We teach technical skills. And it's not just about baking and, you know, sewing. It's also about understanding that we need to build our IT skills. We need to build our creative skills. We can enter the gig economy.
Marketing skills.
So we're really pushing that approach, and we actually are really looking for corporate partners to step in and to partner with WAO so that we can upskill this throughout the country, because we believe that we have a fabulous program that really works.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, going on that, you know, the pandemic has, of course, impacted your work. I know that, it's impacted also your funds, with some donors reducing or withdrawing from funding key areas of your work. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. The pandemic has had a really negative impact on all nonprofit organizations across the board. And at a time like this, when the need for social support is so much more pronounced and important, for it to come at the same time when there is a contraction economically in terms of people's own economic capabilities to donate to organizations like WAO, and also for corporates to donate to organizations like WAO, it becomes very difficult. So at the start of the pandemic period, we were actually pretty lucky, because we had a range of UN agencies who recognized, you know, the work that WAO is doing and our integrity. And they stepped forward to fund us throughout this emergency period. And that was the UN Population Fund, the UN Refugee Agency, UN Women, and International Labour Organization. So we were actually able to increase resources to meet the increased need. But now we're sort of like, you know, out of that initial crunch, and we're really looking to build sustainability. And WAO has certain plans in place to drive and move forward our own sustainability. And that is through working with the corporate sector in some key ways, which I can talk about a little later. But right now, really what we are needing is especially for corporate donors, if you have an ESG strategy, if you have a sustainability strategy, I would really call upon you to consider the social limb, you know, because ESG is environment, social, and governance. And the social limb really is about making that social impact. And for ESG, there is that key issue of materiality, you know, what their ESG strategy needs to recognize what's material. And I would say that addressing gender equality is material to everyone. WAO is an organization that moves the needle further forward on gender equality. We provide services to crisis services for women who are survivors of violence, specifically domestic violence, yes, but fundamentally, we also do a lot to impact the legal landscape, the social landscape, and the corporate landscape to make Malaysia a better country for women, that we're not just a call away. Our services are available 24 hours. We're not just a call away, but we are working to make Malaysia a better country for women. And in so doing, we're making Malaysia a better country for everyone. So that social limb of ESG includes gender equality. I'm making a really strong plug for that, for that to be recognized as being material to everyone.
Yeah, because, you know, if we are not looking after the women, we're not looking after half of our population, how do we expect to get any equity, any sort of equality, anything? How do we expect to get anything done, right?
Yeah, like the Africans say, right? We hold up half the sky.
Yeah, exactly. And but okay, so let's say anyone's listening and they are interested to support, you know, what are some things that would be most helpful to the organization right now?
So I would say monetary donations are super important. We've had an avalanche of volunteers, and we have a database right now of over, I believe at last count, 1,000 volunteers.
Wow.
And we regularly do onboarding with our volunteers. And what that means is actually full-on training on, you know, gender equality, on violence against women, on WA strategy and what we need to do to achieve our goals. So we kind of like, you know, right now we have a backlog of men and women volunteers that we need to onboard. So what we need are monetary donations, because we need to pay our social workers' salaries. We need to keep our hotline going. We need to make sure that we're able to pay for quarantine for women and children before they come into our shelter. Mm. We need to make sure our shelter is able to keep running. You know, we have actually this year taken, just in the first 6 months of the year, we have sheltered, I think it's 65 women. And this, you know, being mindful of that 2 week quarantine and then, you know, and all of the processes that we need to go through to make sure everyone in the refuge at a certain time are all safe and healthy and SOP compliant. And at this time, even with physical access to WA being so limited, we have actually sheltered that many women. Mm-hmm. A lot of our resources are spent on quarantine, on, you know, PPE, on renting hotel rooms also when we have an overflow. So the WAO budget actually is 4 million ringgit a year. That's our budget. And we have some wonderful committed donors to WAO, like, you know, Yayasan Saimdabi, for instance, who's been standing by us for the last 10 years, and a few others, other recurrent donors. But really what we need is to have that injection of funds right now, so that we can keep moving forward, so that we can keep being just a call away.
Okay. And I think, you know, it's important for people to understand that, you know, when you rescue somebody from a dangerous situation, it's not just a 1 or 2 day sort of situation, right? It's long term. You're not just going to rescue them and then, you know, say, hey, find your way. You help them get back on the path to recovery. And it sometimes also involves children, right? And schooling. And it's not just one person. It's so many different people.
Yeah, exactly. And what I always say is that it's a continuum. So it starts with that hotline. And it ends with law and policy reform. And maybe I can explain to you. So that one call, and we start engaging with the woman and her child / children. And we provide services. And as we provide services, we obtain evidence and knowledge on what works, what doesn't work, and what needs to change. And that evidence and knowledge is then turned into two things. And one is advocacy material to push forward law and policy reform. It's also turned into training material so that we can build capacity, not just of, you know, government agencies and other actors who are mandated by law to provide that crisis response, like, for instance, law enforcement, health, welfare, and so forth. So we bring the lived reality so that we can all improve in the delivery of service. And then it also goes into raising public awareness. So that's the continuum of WAO. We start from one woman making that one phone call, and it leads finally to impact and hopefully societal change.
Okay, that is the hope. And, you know, even individuals, even those who are not part of the corporate sector, they too can donate, and it's also tax deductible. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. WAO is tax exempt, and for all donations over 50 ringgit, we will provide a tax exempt receipt.
Okay.
To the donor.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else you want to add, Sumitra, before I let you go? Any last message that you'd like to leave us with? I guess, you know, I mean, many of the issues that we're seeing, you know, I've been holding women back. You know, those existed even before COVID. I guess, what can we do to address them? Build back as a society. We're talking about building back better. How can we build back as a society that supports women?
I think we start with hope. I always have hope in my heart, in spite of everything that, you know, I've seen and experienced, not just, you know, outside of Malaysia in, you know, with regards to refugee situations, but also here, there's always hope. And I feel that right now we are this is the winter of our discontent. And it's really been the toughest times for all of us. And I feel so much, especially for young Malaysians, to have to go through this at the early stages of their adulthoods and lives. You know, it's so hard. Okay, but you know what? There is hope. I have really strong commitment and strong conviction that we will get through this. We need to pull together, which we are doing. We need to identify what are the opportunities for change. And we need really to support, I would say, organizations like WAO, who are actually, if I may say so myself, who are actually striving to make a change in our landscape and in our society. We can do this, everyone. We can do this together. It's the winter of our discontent, but we will move into spring and summer. We will do it. I know we will. We can.
Okay. Thank you so much for leaving us on that positive note. I've been speaking to Sumitra Viswanathan. She's the executive director of the Women's Aid Organization. Again, if I guess, you know, also we should do, I remember this so clearly, you know, from all my interviews with you, you say that after people hear it, you know, those who are survivors or who are facing domestic violence do get in touch. So if you are or you know someone experiencing domestic violence, call the 24-hour WAO hotline at 03-3000-8858 or send an SMS or a WhatsApp to 018-988-8058. That's the TINA hotline, right? And again, if anyone would like to get in touch about funding, is there a particular channel that they should go through for that, Sumitra?
Yes, absolutely. They can go to our website. It's wao.org.my/donate. They can also send an email to info@wao.org.my.
Okay. All right. I hope a lot of people do that. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.